So Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
These are the same verses, but from the Message version. You may just want to close your eyes and think about these words. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll discover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly.
Thank you. Morning, everyone. It's really great to be with you again this morning. I've been coming along, I don't know how many years now, quite a few years, one Sunday a year to come and spend some time with you. Normally I work over at Wellsprings Community Church in Taunton. I lead there and get up to all kinds of things through the week with the community, and you've probably heard me talk before about some of the things that we do. This time last year, I think I appeared on screen for you. From memory, we're thinking about Doctor Who. I'll let you remember why. But we spent a bit of time thinking about Doctor Who, I think, on screen. But today, it's, as you've heard, it's the start of a new series that you're going to be having here. Thinking about disciplines. And the first one we're going to think about is that idea of rest, that idea of Sabbath. You may remember, if you've heard me speak before, that a few years ago, for a variety of reasons, I came to this sudden realization of something, and that something that it changed my life, and it changed the way that I read things and understand things completely. And the realization I came to at one point was something I'd known all along, but suddenly it made sense. That Jesus was Jewish. And when that realization came to me, it made me want to discover more about who Jesus was within his culture and within his context, and it changed the way that I see lots of things completely. I lecture Old Testament in various places, and so it's something that I've become more and more excited about discovering, that idea of who Jesus is and his background. Until that point, with that realization, I think I knew what Sabbath meant. Sabbath for me, I'm sure, maybe for some of you as well, it's that Old Testament law that's not really for us Christians anymore. It's something that the religious teachers, like the Pharisees, treated legalistically. It's a list of do's, but mainly a list of don'ts. And then Jesus seemed to criticize them a lot, because of their view and the things that they were saying. He seemed somehow to abolish the Sabbath laws by deliberately doing things that were against what those laws seemed to say. So he'd do healings, which they classed as work and shouldn't have been done on the Sabbath. And so, for me, Sabbath was actually a little bit irrelevant. Nothing to do with me. It's those Old Testament laws that don't apply to us anymore. But with this newfound realization of who Jesus was, this understanding of Jesus' culture and his background, I was forced to have to stop and to think and to rethink what I thought about the Sabbath. So I went back to the Bible to see what it really says. Obvious place to start is in Genesis. This ancient poem that we call Genesis chapter 1, which tells the story of creation. Each verse of the poem describing a day where God was at work creating, ending with the refrain, like we've heard already this morning, about each day being good. Then after 6 days, when everything was created perfectly, when everything was very good, exactly how it was meant to be, then what did God do? He rested. Here are some of the verses. And then I can turn around like that. So Genesis 2, that next section that we go to, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." What I want to pick out is a particular word. That word rested. It's where we get Sabbath from. In Hebrew, the word is Shabbat. And so anytime it says rested there, then it's talking about this Hebrew word Shabbat. It literally means to cease, to desist, to stop. And so the idea is that at that point, God stopped. He ceased. He desisted. When your work is done, you stop. I never had to do it, but some of you may have done. You know, when you go to work and you clock in, and you, when you finished your work, what do? You clock out. You cease, you desist, you stop working. And that's the word here that's used. Was he tired? Is that why he had to rest? I don't think so, because he's God. But I think what he was doing was modelling to us a way of being that's best for us. A rhythm of work and rest. A few verses later, we get another little passage comes up. It says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." And there's another word in there that I want to introduce to you, because that word goes with Shabbat, it goes with Sabbath, hand in hand, all the way through the scriptures. And you might not be able to pick out which one it's going to be. It is put. The Hebrew word for put there is nuach. And nuach means to abide, to rest in, to be settled in. And so God took the man and placed him, put him to rest, put him to abide in the Garden of Eden. To work for it and take care of it. So biblically, when we come to this idea of rest, we come to this idea of Sabbath, there are actually two words that go hand in hand together. Shabbat, to stop, to cease, to desist from work. Nuach, to rest, to abide, to spend time with. And we've heard already Jesus' words. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I think despite what our 21st century world might have us believe and might have us want to do and insist that we do actually sometimes need to stop. We all know that. We can't work 24/7 without damaging ourselves physically and damaging ourselves mentally, or damaging those around us. So why don't we do it? God always intended for us to have a day every week to be unproductive. To stop. You know, in the desert, when they were spending 40 years walking around in the wilderness, getting to the promised land, the Israelites discovered something about this idea, because every day, what did they do on a morning? Food appeared, manna appeared on the ground, and they would go and collect it. They'd collect just enough food for that day. If they collected any more, it would go off. But the day before Sabbath, they would have to collect twice as much food. And then on the Sabbath, that food would last. They wouldn't collect, they wouldn't work on that day. They were forced, for one day every week, to trust God. That he would provide that for them, even though on other days it runs out, on that day it goes off, on that day it wasn't going to. And they would have a day not just to trust him, but to enjoy him. They remembered being freed from slavery in Egypt. And so even to this day, they have this day every week, a day of rest and a day of freedom. It was a reminder of how things were back in the garden, of how things were perfect, how everything was provided for them, how there was this, sorry, another Hebrew word, shalom, this wholeness and completeness. Things were how they were meant to be. And it was a foretaste of the future shalom, the future perfect world that would come when the Messiah came. They were looking back to a God providing. They were looking forward to God providing, and they were living there, trusting God, enjoying him. That's still the position they live in today. It was a reminder that God is the king of the world, not me. I found this quote. We must, as it were, return the borrowed world to its divine owner in order to realize that it is but lent to us. God controls, not us. We rest and we trust and we enjoy with him. Everything doesn't depend on me. We know this, but do we really? Our identity isn't wrapped up in what we accomplish or what we don't accomplish. It's wrapped up in grace. It's wrapped up in relationship with him and with others, those around us. But this idea, this Jewish Shabbat, this one day a week, it also reminds us that we need to spend quality time with those who are around us, those who we love. It's about relationship with God, and it's about relationship with those around us too, our family and our friends. For Jewish people, even today, every Sabbath contains a time at the synagogue as a community worshipping God. And it has three meals every day of that Sabbath, so that you spend time with your family and your friends, doing nothing but sitting and eating and being together. Reconnecting with God, reconnecting with those around us. One day a week. There's a famous Jewish rabbi called Rabbi Hirsch. He said this, to cease for a whole day from all business, he's quoting someone else, to cease for a whole day from all business, from all work, in the frenzied hurry-scurry of our time, the pulse of life would stop beating and the world perish. His response to that, the world perish? On the contrary, it would be saved. I read once that God created human beings, and we've turned ourselves into human doings. On the Sabbath, we're reminded that we are not human doings, but human beings. There's probably nothing much I've said this morning that you don't know already, that you haven't heard before, that you didn't understand, perhaps even better than I do. And the Jews of Jesus' day knew all this. But they got a problem. Because they turned this thing to do with relationship, to do with resting, to do with stopping and then entering into relationship of Shabbat and Nuak. They turned it into something legalistic. They turned it into something that they had to do and they had instructions to follow. And I can understand why a little bit. A few years ago, I lived in Exmouth. Before I was married, looking at me now, you can see what a fit, healthy person I am. Back then, it was worse than I am now. My favourite thing was to go to the kebab shop. At least once a week, at least, I would go to the kebab shop. And it got to a point where it was actually quite difficult for me because in the centre, if you know Exmouth, there's this sort of square in the middle with shops all around and grass and trees and things in the middle. And to get anywhere from where I lived, I had to go past the kebab shop. And if the kebab shop was open, and I was walking past the door of the kebab... I don't know, it's going to be confession time this morning. As I'm walking past the door of the kebab shop, if it's open and the smell's coming out, you know, it's almost like a cartoon, you know, that sort of, you go in and then you go, ooh, and you get drawn in. And so what I worked out was the way to avoid me doing that was instead of walking the route that I would be expected to walk, I would walk all the way around this square so that I could avoid having to walk past the kebab shop. Because it was the only way I could guarantee that I wouldn't stop and go in, was to walk all the way around so that I avoided going in. And so I understand really well what these Jewish religious leaders were doing with their instructions to people about the Sabbath. They didn't want anyone to break the Sabbath rules, the Sabbath commandments that God had given. And so what they would do was something called making a fence around them. If you want to make sure you don't do that, then you stay all the way over here. If you want to make sure you don't walk into the kebab shop, then you go all the way around the square, around the outside. If you're not going to break one of God's Sabbath commands, then you make sure you don't get anywhere close to breaking them. So you set rules in place, you set a fence around so that no one can come close to breaking them. But then the problem comes that that fence becomes the rules and becomes the law and becomes the thing that you're not allowed to do. And so what they did then was to lose the enjoyment. What they did then was to lose the positives, the relationship, the building up. And what they got instead were rules that were restrictions, that were about judgment, that were about punishment. As they added these instructions onto the rules, to try and stop anybody from breaking them. And what actually happens is you get the opposite of shalom. You get the opposite of freedom. You get the opposite of how things are meant to be. You get judgment and you get rules and you get restrictions and you get guilt. They had Shabbat without Nuak. You following me? Who'd have thought when you walked through the door I'd talk to you about two Hebrew words and you'd go nod and understand what I'm saying by using Hebrew? They had Shabbat without Nuak. We can't Nuak, we can't rest in God's presence and be with those around us, building relationship without Nuak. Shabbat without stopping and resting. But Shabbat without Nuach isn't true rest. And it easily becomes the opposite of the freedom that it's meant to bring. I grew up with my mum and dad going to a Methodist church with all kinds of rules to do with alcohol and drinking, to do with what you did on a Sunday. I had to stop playing cricket for 3 years because the age group of the team that I would have played for played on a Sunday morning. And I was not allowed to do that. And often then, if we have Shabbat without Nuach, it's very, very easy to stop completely doing either. And to stop ourselves from doing things. So, you know Banksy, the artist? He painted this. If you get tired, learn to rest, not to quit. And I think so often that's what we do now in life. Because we don't Shabbat and Nuach, we quit. And maybe there are some people who would normally be amongst us here who are not, because they've discovered that actually it's easier to quit sometimes than to rest and to restart and to rebuild and to go again. So, how do we do it? Tim Keller, who you may have heard of, American church leader, writes lots of books. He came up with some suggestions. I've based my thoughts in this next section on that, but I've redone some of them and rethought them for how I thought things might work. But we're going to think about Shabbat and Nuach and what that means. First thing, obviously, have time off from normal work. You need to Shabbat. You need to stop. You need to cease. When I told my wife what I was speaking about this morning, she laughed. Especially this last year and a half or so. It's just been, it's so hard to have a day off. To have a day that's different to any other. She laughed and said, I hope you're going to be listening to what you say. Have time off. You need to Shabbat. Here's the next suggestion that you do with some of that time. Leave some of it unplanned. I know what I'm like. If you have a day off, then you plan all these things that you're going to do. Actually, try leaving some time unplanned. Do whatever comes to mind at that time. There's some kind of freedom in that. Do something pleasurable that still takes energy to do. So it's not work because it's not work, but there's still something about, for me, I spend a lot of time visiting people, I spend a lot of time in schools, I spend a lot of time sat at my desk. And so for me to do something physical is really, really good for me in lots of ways. So I garden. I try and walk. Maybe you're into sport or music or some kind of DIY. Something different to your normal work that when you Shabbat, it's a form of Nuach, to connect again to yourself by doing something pleasurable, but that still takes energy. But also, do some contemplative things. Maybe you can do it at the same time. Pray. Have space, solitude, Maybe you're into journaling. Maybe you like reading, reflecting. Spend time in gathered worship. For the Jewish people, they had that gathered time and they had that family time. So maybe Sunday can be your Shabbat and Nuach day. Because you gather for worship, you sing and you pray and you join with others. But don't miss out on the quiet and the solitude and the personal as well. If you're someone who likes the quiet and the solitude and the personal, make sure you don't miss the collective. There's a wholeness, a completeness about both sides working together. Enjoy the beauty of God's world. God took time each day, remember in that reading, to look, and he said, "It is good," when he looked at this amazing world that he created. You know what it's like when you actually stop and look sometimes. And you go, wow. I can remember not long after we'd moved to Taunton, Harry, my little boy, was about 3 or 4. And we'd gone to Hestercombe House. Do you know Hestercombe? It's a bit like a National Trust sort of place. It's not National Trust, but it's that kind of thing. And we'd gone there. We were walking around the gardens. And without realising, you know when you've got a 3 or 4 year old with you and you're sort of walking and suddenly you realise they're not there. And looked and he was stood looking at this hedge. So I went back and I said, "Are you all right, Harry?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "What are you doing?" And he went, "Look." "Okay, it's a hedge." Said, "Yeah, but look. The colours. Birds that are inside it." And suddenly I got this 3-year-old teaching me about looking at God's creation. And probably it was the first time ever that he'd looked and he'd seen and he'd gone, "Wow!" And we just take it for granted. But there's something even for God about looking at his creation and feeling that, wow. Enjoying the beauty. There's something about connecting again with God. And with the world itself. Obviously, there's this side of it I've been talking about quite a bit as well. Oh, I've got an extra one in my notes. Nurture relationships. Spend quality time with family and with friends. Paying them full attention. A few years ago we decided Thursday was my day off, and so on a Thursday I would cook tea for everyone. I enjoy cooking. It was one of those things that I can do that's pleasurable, and I cook tea. And what we decided to do was every week we'd eat food from a different country. And so for that evening every week we would sit as a family around the table. We would eat food together. We'd play music from whatever country we'd decided the food was from. We'd each have to find out an interesting fact about that country and tell everybody else the fact that you'd discovered. I didn't do much of it, but the children and Susie would sometimes dance around the kitchen to the music that was on. No phones. Mobile turned off. Answer machine switched on. We'd talk and we'd dance and we'd eat. And we'd laugh, and we'd play. And maybe we'd watch a film or something together then in the evening. But now that's something we do every day. Not have the food from different countries and that sort of side of it. But every single day we sit down together, and phones are off. And now that Harry's a teenager, that takes more doing than it did do before when he was little, but phones are off. We sit and we eat and we talk and we tell each other about the day. And so something that was started out as a once a week thing has now become a daily thing because it's something we've recognized is so good. If anyone tries to ring me at tea time, you're going to get the answer machine. Because that's time for us together. It's part of our rhythm that we've now got, that every day we spend that time together. Is it legalistic? You've got to do it once a week? No, you just do what's right. A whole day, if you could do this, a whole day spent together as a family, reading, chatting, playing, visiting friends, connecting spiritually through prayer and worship, expressing gratefulness. It sounds like an incredibly 2021 self-help book kind of thing to do. But it's actually a concept that God placed there 5,000 years ago, because it's what's best for us. It's about building and restoring relationship with Him, building and restoring relationship with those around us, our loved ones. Even we could think about the earth itself and what it does for us in that kind of way too. Sabbath stops being a legalistic day, a days of do's but mainly don'ts. And it becomes a way of life, a way of freedom, a way of wholeness, a way of shalom, things being how they're meant to be. Because we bother to Shabbat and Nuach. Because the two go together hand in hand. You can't do one without the other. And if you just have Shabbat, then it becomes legalistic, it becomes don'ts, it becomes rules, and it loses that relationship that's meant to be there. So I would encourage you this morning, and as I said earlier, I'm talking to myself just as much as to you. We need to Shabbat, to stop, to cease, to desist. But we need to Nuach, to abide, to rest, to be with, to build relationship, to nurture together. And we need to do that with God and with each other. Because that's what's best. And that's how we best work. And that's how God created us to be. And that's why God Himself modeled to us right back in the beginning that that's how we do life. Let's pray. Well, Jesus, thank you that when we stop and when we think and when we look at what you've given to us, that we can see this way of being, this way of life that you intended for us all along, of work and of doing things and helping and all of that stuff, but also to then have a time where we stop. And whether that's something we do for one day a week, whether it's something that we do as part of every day, whether it's whatever rhythm, whatever habit we can get ourselves into doing those things. Lord, help us to do it because that is the very best for us. That time of Shabbat to stop and to rest. And that time of Nuach to abide and to restore and to build again. Lord Jesus, I pray for me and I pray for everyone here that we would be excited about that. And we will be able to somehow find a way of putting that into action in our lives. That we can Shabbat and we can Nuach. Give us ideas even now of how we can put that in place. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.